Welcome to iPod, a podcast series from Ophthalmology Times in which we engage with key opinion leaders in interviews about the latest innovations in the areas of surgery, clinical diagnosis, therapeutics, imaging, device technology, gene and cell therapy, practice management, and other cutting-edge topics. I'm your host, David Hutton. Welcome to another edition of the iPod podcast. I'm joined today by Dr. Shankar Musunuri, CEO of Ocugen, to discuss updated data for OCU400 currently in phase 1-2 clinical trial for the treatment of retinitis pigmentosa. Can you tell us about the latest data for OCU400?
Yes, David. David, thank you for having me today. And I'd like to summarize the latest data we released recently. OCU400 continues to demonstrate favorable safety and tolerability profile as an investigational drug product. I think it looks promising. And there also continues to see clinical positive trends from multiple endpoints typically you look in these patients. Remember, retinitis pigmentosa is a very complex disease. And currently, we are looking at multiple mutations because we have a gene agnostic approach. So I will highlight the data. 83% of subjects demonstrated preservation or improvement in treated eye, either with BCVA or LLVA, it's low light visual acuity, or MLMT, which is a mobility course. So that's promising. I think they're important to people to understand. Stabilization of a signal in this population is really good because typically, when you get any drug approved, right, you are reducing degeneration compared to control group. That's why you get the drugs approved. So if you're really stabilizing the signal, stopping the progression, that itself is a good sign. And if you are improving, that's even better, right? And so from where you are. So in that respect, 83% of the subjects showed either preservation, that means stability, or improving in signals using these multiple endpoints. And 75% of them have shown improvement or stabilization with the mobility course. And mobility course is used in one of the approved products, only one gene therapy product in the iSpace got approved about 5 years ago. And 86% of rhodopsin patients showed stabilization or improvement using either MLMT MLMT course, which is mobility course. So that's very important. Why? Because we have a gene agnostic approach. So we are testing in patients who don't have NR2E3, which is the gene we're trying to give using the OCU400. They don't have a defective NR2E3. This is a rhodopsin mutation. And so that's really important. So it is demonstrating efficacy a trend in patients in a gene agnostic approach. That's very important for people to understand.
What do these results mean for the company and its efforts with OCU400?
I mean, these results are very encouraging. Number one, we looked into many patients to date now, and number one, safety is good. So that's number one. And some of the patients have reached almost like 12 months time point, which is important. And the next most important thing is we continue to see positive efficacy trends. As I mentioned, most of these patients, about 100,000 patients in US struggle with retinitis pigmentosa. And many of them, if untreated by, mid 40s, they may become legally blind. It's a really devastating disease, and they're really in desperate need. And if you are showing, a favorable signal, it's either stabilizing the signal or improving using multiple endpoints. That's very promising. So that will allow us to assemble the data sometime this year. And we want to really discuss this information with FDA. Using this data, we're going to design our phase 3 clinical trial and go to agencies and discuss with them by the end of the year and see if we can get an agreement to move into phase 3 clinical trial. That's really important, right? Because remember, phase 1-2 clinical trial, the primary endpoint is efficacy, safety. So if you're seeing efficacy signal in these patients using multiple endpoints, that's very promising. And it is also showing in patients in a gene agnostic approach on rhodopsin, other mutations other than NR2E3. So those are the key points to remember. And typically in phase 1-2 trials also, you take late stage patients who have a disease which progressed, you know, way into really advanced stage. So sometimes if you talk to the experts, I mean, they're surprised. They don't expect much improvement in these patients, but they're seeing good signals in these patients too. So that's very encouraging to hear from experts. So in a nutshell, this data is encouraging. We're putting a package together to discuss with the agencies, see if we can get an agreement to move into phase 3.
And ultimately, what could this treatment option mean for ophthalmologists and the patients they treat?
Yeah, this could be very beneficial. I mean, let me talk about retinitis pigmentosa. I mean, under retinitis pigmentosa, you know, there are many inherited retinal diseases, and this is an orphan disease, about 100,000 patients in the U.S., and there is another segment called Leber congenital amaurosis. We're recruiting patients in CEP290. Between two of them, there are about 125 genes which can get mutated, right? So if you take a traditional gene therapy approach, you have one product covering RPE65 gene in the market, and that is about, you know, less than 1,000 patients in the U.S., and that's one out of 125, right? So how about remaining 124 mutations, remaining, you know, over 100,000 patients sitting in there? How are they going to get the rescue? So it's almost impossible for pharmaceutical companies to develop 124 products to, you know, treat all those patients. So that's where we come in. You know, this is a modifier gene therapy. These are like master genes in retina. They have ability to control the functional networks from cell development, inflammation, metabolism to survival. They create a homeostasis. They reset the homeostasis at the molecular level and cellular level and restore the function. And also, they create a healthy environment for cells to survive. That's very important. And that's why, because of that, these genes we can target, you know, gene agnostic approach, they have potential to treat all these patients with those, you know, 125 mutations. That's as potential. So what it means is for ophthalmologists and patients, this is very significant for them, you know. So there is a hope out there. If this treatment works and if continue to work in phase 3 in multiple mutations, so this has potential to address this big disease burden. I mean, this is a, you know, people are thinking, okay, single mutations, you know, 500 patients, 2,000 patients. I mean, rhodopsin itself has over 10,000 patients. And this is not an easy mutation to treat with, in rhodopsin mutations. So that's itself what we are testing right now, NR2E3 and rhodopsin mutations. And that itself is big. So there's a hope for the patients and physicians. And if we continue to progress into phase 3 and we potentially get to the other side and get good results, and this treatment has potential to treat all these patients who are in desperate need for rescue.
And lastly, you pretty much hit upon this, but let's recap. What are the next steps for OCU400?
The next steps are, obviously, we're progressing well in clinic. I mean, with the data we have on hand, and we're going to discuss with agencies like FDA and with our phase 3 design. So if they do agree, I mean, our goal is to move this to phase 3, as we announced, late this year and early next year. So that will be a control trial looking into multiple mutations in phase 3. And so what it means is our, you know, bigger goal is to get a broad retinitis pigmentosa and LCA indications covering all those mutations. I mean, obviously, we do have orphan drug designations covering those broad indications like RP and LCA. And so those designs have to align with FDA and ensure they're comfortable with our design. And if we reach an agreement, we're going to go into phase 3. And the bottom line is, to initiate a phase 3 as soon as possible. That's the bottom line. So that it's typically these studies are minimum run for 1 year duration, just like, you know, the first product which got approved, they did a 1 year endpoint. And so sometimes they may need a little longer too, depending on the mutations. So all those things will be discussed with FDA. So in a nutshell, the next steps are get an alignment with FDA and initiate potentially the phase three clinical trial at the end of this year or early next year. And so that this product will be available in the market, if everything goes according to our plan, by 2026.
Thanks for listening to this episode of iPod by Ophthalmology Times. If there are topics you would like to hear about, let us know. You can also stay connected with us on Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram. We'll see you next time.